This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
No te va mi miaru to nace, no te va miaru elo, miaru e miaru to nace, lo lo ya ova mi du elo, no viva miai lo. Va no viva do to ne ase, e alo lo no vine, no viva. Roto agbe yawo, no viva. Roto agbe yawo, no viva. Mia ilo agbe le tekwa wo, mia ila. Mia ilo vivida. Na mesia me. Dum, 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 dum. Va, no te va mi, mia roto nase. No te va mia duelo. Mia ruwe mia roto nase, no lo ya uva mi ruwelo, no viva mia ilo. Va, no viva roto nease, e alo lo no via, no viva roto agwe yawo, no viva roto agwe yawo, no viva mia ilo. Agbele te kwa wo, nya ila, nya ilo, vivida, na mesia me. Lolo varo, lolo neka, lolo varo, lolo neka, kwa la peya me. Lolo, lolo, vivida, mia mia no du sesere, mia duelo, ne mia kuka. Lolo varo, chichueda.
Thank you. It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. That was Miss Angelique Kidjo. Thought I'd play that just for the sake of its Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday and all of that tomorrow, and the parade is tomorrow. Don't forget that if you'd like to go out there and participate in that. And quite a few things going on, and the support, whether you short, tall, round, square, long hair, short hair, earrings in your nose or your ears, go down and join in. It's a lot to be had and said and shared. And I played that Angelique Kidjo just to remind us all that there's that UNICEF, which is an organization that does a lot in African nations. And being that this is Dr. Martin Luther King's anniversary, and today President Barack Obama will be sworn in, or has been sworn in, I guess, by now. And so it was just a little gesture to remind us all that go to our friends at UNICEF and see what we can do and give a little helping hand there. But UNICEF is UNICEF.org. And really, whether it's AIDS or violence against women in the African nations or anywhere, India, and all over Europe, wherever. But let's not forget them and forget their struggle. And this is a perfect day to remind us all of that. So that's why I played that. And plus, it's beautiful. And I apologize for moving this thing around. I need to put some oil on it. And wow, it's noisy. Got a couple things we're going to be talking about today. And they are, you know, we've talked. Long and hard on this and given some thoughts about it. The fireworks explosion at Waikele self-storage. And there is this report, and many of you have seen it in the newspaper and heard about it on the TV and all. And, you know, everybody has their own rights and approaches to this, but I wonder if the many of you out there realize that this so-called investigation, and I'll characterize it as a so-called investigation, is probably one of the most shameful pieces of work any government agency could ever produce. Five people lost their lives. Five human beings lost their lives. And one was injured. But the ones that really suffer are the families. And this could have been prevented, should have been prevented. And so what I'm going to do is, it's going to be long and arduous, an attempt to share with you some of the things that you didn't know or wouldn't know, and that it was presented in a cursory manner that glanced over once and, you know, in a minute and 15 seconds in the news, you're not going to get the full story or the total situation that had developed there, unfolded. And this chemical safety board, man, the frightening, the things that we do, our government. And I guess if I were to title this talk or this sharing, label it would be, we are a nation of laws and a nation of many flaws. And I mean that this situation at Waikele is the most horrendous situation you could ever see. And it lends evidence to, provides evidence to those naysayers who are frustrated with our government, and they have the right. A lot of the times we don't see what it is that they see of the built-up frustration. And so we dismiss people as being grumpy, just not satisfied with the government activities, or, you know, just look at government and just angry anyway. But this situation was absolutely avoidable. It was on the government's radar. We knew about it, and we had rules in place, and every single government entity involved failed. And so basically, the situation that developed there, as we've talked over the years about this, how the city and county, now legally, there have been some jousting and in courts, and apparently the government has been not exonerated, but let go free of this, this in liabilities, I guess. That's my take on it. But the contractor who was involved, VSC, was able to get the contract, lots of money involved. And the contract was put out. This company got the money, got the contract for the major part from the Treasury. And then it subcontracted to DEI, Donaldson Enterprise, Inc. And the U.S. Chemical Safety and Hazard Investigation Board came over and did an investigation. And their investigation found some things that, and I'll just read them out. We'll walk through this because I want you to see, if we don't grab hold of government now, we've lost it. Because this effort with the CSB was nothing more than to come in and insulate government agencies that, in my opinion, are not only responsible but culpable in the death of these five people and the injury and the affront and offense that they projected on we as a people. Millions of dollars are set aside for this activity to control the and process, and this situation was unexploded fireworks. And I don't even know where to start, but what I will do is the CSB investigation into this, and I'm going to read this document a bit, and into this incident identified the following key findings. DEI, that's Donaldson Enterprise, Inc., hazard analysis of its fireworks disposal process was insufficient. The company failed to identify key hazards of handling, disassembling, and storing contraband commercial display fireworks, and did not adequately control the identified and evaluated hazards. Now, let me set the stage. DEI failed to do this, they claim in this report. DEI failed to do that. But let's go back to the beginning. It is the city and county of Honolulu who manages this property. It falls under their jurisdiction under the land use laws. And as I've reported here, that under the Hanneman administration and others, it was allowed, they were told that this kind of activity was not conducive or proper in that area, but they allowed it to go ahead anyway. And then the Navy flexed its muscles, who originally owned the land. But the issue was they dropped the ball. Then in some of this report, it shows that in the actual lease, as they were renting the land out or leasing the land to Donaldson, the documents show that they struck out the clause or the phrase that spoke to storing of fireworks or explosives. So, but again, this was seized. These fireworks were seized by federal agencies. And they, in turn, the reason they seized them, they were illegal, didn't meet certain standards. They exceeded certain standards of, you know, and I won't go into the technical details. But, you know, there is government goes into the drug stores and makes sure that you can't buy products that contain certain chemicals that allows or lend itself to meth labs. So they control that right down to the T, right across the counter. Government is telling you now no guns, and they're writing new legislation and what have you. But how is it that they can seize fireworks, seize them, give them to a contractor to handle them, and allow that contractor to subcontract to someone that has not demonstrated that they have the professional ability or the expertise? You would think the government's ownership, because they seized them, because it was the purpose was to protect property, life, and human beings and other things. Why is it that once they seize them, they hand them off to someone that really isn't capable or have demonstrated that they can do the job? So this report, mind you, comes along, and it's as if this is the only incident that has ever occurred, and all of a sudden they have revelations that there was some things wrong, and that the law only applies to the manufacturing and the storage, but not the dismantling and disassembly of it. Now, mind you, if we're worried about amphetamines and things of that nature being used, or chemicals being used by people that are clandestine meth labs, you would think that given this day and age with Homeland Security concerns, you go to the airport, they're checking you for your drinking water, you can't go on the plane with water, and you can't do all of these things. But how is it that the federal government agencies that regulate fireworks know the components of fireworks, know that there's black powder, there's other igniters, there's all kinds of accelerants that can be used, if gotten in the hands of criminals or terrorists, can be used as a weapon? Mind you, these same agencies travel the rural areas looking for purchases of fertilizer to ward off or monitor, to check for people that might possibly turn violent or become terrorists or what have you and use this material. But how is it that the federal government can take this material, seize it, and knowing that it's going to be hundreds and hundreds of pounds of black powder, which, if used improperly, is explosive and volatile, but if used in the hands of a criminal or a terrorist or a person that just flips his wig, how is it that the federal government, the ATF, the ICES, the Chemical Safety Board, would allow this to operate? Well, this speaks of a culture within the federal government. Your money, my money, goes up there, and the laws that they write are not laws that really fully are written to protect. There's loopholes. And they seem to be eager to exonerate various bodies or entities involved in this by citing the flaws in the law. But you would think long, long time ago, when they wrote these laws and begged to have them implemented and Congress passed these laws, you would think they've had time to actually find all of the pukas or holes, so to speak, and tighten them up. But in this instance, and there are other instances that were just horrible. So that was one of them, the technical findings that I read. Two, DEI personnel disposing of the fireworks lacked the training, experience, and knowledge of procedural safeguards for the safe conduct of the fireworks and the disposal. In other words, based on their findings, the ATF, the ICES, and anybody else that was responsible for seizing this might as well just driven by with a tractor-trailer truck and left this bundle of fireworks or this massive collection of fireworks along the side of the streets. It was just as reckless. It was reckless abandonment. It served, and yet the federal government, somehow the CSB, comes in and gives its blessing, and in turn it's flawed, and it has its own predisposition as to what it wants to seek out of this, because they've been at various sites. Kansas, there was one. Another place that this happened with explosives, and with the increase in the number of fireworks and fireworks displays, you would think that they would know that at a minimum, you'd forget the illegal import. Let's say the legal ones. Let's say a percentage of the fireworks that they allow legally to come in are duds or don't get used. But they have all of the ingredients that is desired by terrorists. And yet they know they come in and they don't check to find out what was the fine. You would think from the date that it entered the country until they saw a signed affidavit, a witness statement that a person with the expertise accounting for every single ounce or grain of black powder or propellants or whatever would have been accounted for. Why would the federal government hand it off to VSE as a contract and step back? Well, VSE hired a company called Blanchard, a group of retired federal law enforcement agents. What were they doing? Where was their inspection of DEI? So, again, I talk about this today because this is how we should see when the grumpy old man sits and talks. Maybe we need to start listening to him. Maybe he's not off of his rockers. Maybe he's not nuts. Maybe he knows something that we don't know or know and just don't know how to address it. The third one in the technical findings, DEI's modification to the fireworks disposal process accumulated substantially large quantities of explosive materials in boxes, greatly increasing the potential explosion hazard. This change to the disposal process was not adequately reviewed for safety implications. Why now, after five people die, does a chemical safety board come and tell us about this when, in fact, they have oversight or others have oversight and the rules, HIOSH or the OSHA have rules? And also the state health department issued a 90-day emergency permit to burn. But they handed off the permit and never, ever, ever checked. Never. It was as if someone walked in and says, I want to open up a stand at the circus today with the cotton candy. Here you are. Handed them the permit, never followed up. And I have reported, when I discovered this in the early parts of me looking into it, they didn't want to talk about it. They hid the fact that the state health department was involved and had issued a permit but did not follow up to make sure that they adhered to the rules and the directions and instructions that the health department had set of the conditions. Fourth, the CSB, the Chemical Safety Board, along with the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosive AT and the Hawaii Occupational Safety and Health Division, identified a number of possible ignition sources in the magazine at the time of the incident, including sparking tools, a metal hand truck, rolling office chair, and plastic bags capable of producing static discharge. Why did five people have to die for them to acknowledge these problems? Why weren't they checking along the way? Why would they give the explosives to VSE the responsibility at, with a check, and then a stand back and allow. Didn't someone on occasion go and check to see the compliance? But the way the rules are, they're suggesting that the rules are built where, it, again, as I said, only for the manufacturing and possibly the storage, but the dismantling, the rules are not really strong enough or solid enough or speak to the specifics. Why now, though, are we seeing this revelation or this acknowledgement? Why do we have an army of federal agents and agencies responsible for this, and yet they never bother to follow up? Your tax dollars is in the hands of people that will hand it off, and I believe that if it were not for the greed and the reckless disregard for human life amongst the federal agencies involved, five people would be still walking this earth today. But because of the, not flaws, but because of the flaws in their integrity, these investigators, someone should have had the common sense to know that, forget the danger of it exploding, if you want to be that careless, but what about the components in this day and era when there we all talk about violence and terrorism and being attacked in America and what have you, and you handed off the guy in the Oklahoma bombing, for example. You take him. If there's one of him, there may be many. So you would think they would have strict conditions that if you are going to destroy these fireworks, we want to see every single accounting from the date we deliver it to you to the moment you burn it or dissolve it or remove it and ship it out. We want accountability. That's common sense. But they threw all logic to the wind, just abandoned that because they have to get back to managing people. They got to get back to catching the one little crook or searching the little old lady's bra at the airport so that they can detect if she has some what. When in fact you have hundreds if not thousands of pounds of black powder and other explosive materials just sitting willy-nilly in the hands of people you've given it to that have not demonstrated that they have the expert ability to do it. Yet you bring in the CSB and they kindly oblige to and grant this immunity of some type, exonerating the federal agencies. The bigger crime is that they're taking our money and handing it off and not giving us a quality product, not doing oversight as should be done. The contractor selection. They went on and say that the identified number of possible ignition sources in the magazine at the time, and they talked about the plastic bags, because plastic bags, if you notice, are like a balloon. If you rub it on your hair, for example, you'll see your hair will stand up, or it'll cling, or paper will cling. That little static discharge may trigger an explosion. But it shouldn't trigger an explosion if the ATF, the ICE, or the CSB was standing, breathing down their neck. And if VSE was breathing down their neck and BEI or the Blanchard was breathing down their neck, monitoring this. But no, they walked away because I guess they were called firecrackers. But black powder is black powder. If you fashion it in a certain way, it becomes a bomb. Now, imagine, if I can come up with a simple analogy, you have a situation, this is basically what the federal government is doing, the CSB. There is this plant, fictitious, and their role is to dismantle bombs. And right next door is a gasoline plant. And so the federal government says, okay, you need to demonstrate that you can dismantle bombs and store them properly and transport them properly and do that. You're required to have eye protection, fire protection suit, and a immediate source of water to wash your eyes out in case you get your eyes clean, or to try to extinguish the fire if one occurs. So they come in, and they look at that, and no one looks across the fence and say, wait, stop. You can't be qualified because you're situated immediately next to a gasoline plant. So therefore, we're not going to contract with you. No, what basically, and this is a kind of a nonsensical attempt, but it's to say that the federal government went there and said, okay, go ahead and do it as long as you got your eye protection, your fire hose, and your fire suit. They didn't bother to look around them and ask that other question, that probing question, well, who and what are you going to do with this material once you dismantle the fireworks or render them inert? These people were storing, they modified their approach. They said, well, we're going to dunk it in this and diesel and what have you. And they decided, well, that wasn't working, so we'll do it. We'll start cutting them open. And you would think by then, somewhere up the chain, just through general inspection, would have detected that this is some stupid behavior going on here. And may not be against the, quote, law. It violates common sense. So it's frightening. The contractor selection and oversight findings, the federal acquisition regulations which govern federal agencies' acquisition of goods and services does not specifically require a federal contracting officer to consider safety performance measures and qualifications when during the, quote, responsibility, end quote, of a potential government contractor, a subcontractor to handle, store, and dispose of hazardous materials such as fireworks. Now, RCRA, which we talk about a lot on the show here, exists. It existed before the explosion here at Y. Kelly. Why did not the CSB jump on this long time ago and understand that these flaws that they now acknowledge or have a revelation? Maybe it's the Big Bang Theory that triggered this new thought process. This is why I say laws and flaws. This is a cover-up by the federal government. Period. I can't tell you any other way. It's an affront to all of our common senses, all of us, because you cannot be a regulatory body and have had the responsibility of writing laws and consulting with Congress and testifying, and they're relying on you, and you fail to iron out the flaws, but you're eager after case, incident after incident, to now just come up so proudly and disclose that these flaws exist and RCRA does not. You should have put this to rest many years ago, but they didn't. The Department of Treasury Acquisition Regulation, DTAR, they call it, supplement to the FAR, does not impose sufficient requirements for safe practices and subcontractor selection and oversight with respect to unique hazards associated with handling, storing, and disposing of hazardous materials. The question is, why not? You've been in existence for a long time, since the invention of gunpowder, probably. But why now? This report is bogus. This report is nothing more than a cover-up. Again, a cover-up. And this is not me being paranoid. This is just to say, if you're in place, you're being paid to enforce the law, you know the law, and you've been challenged by the flaws in this law on previous occasions, and you sat with your thumb up your you-know-what and did nothing. And then you run off to paradise where five human beings lost their lives because you were just simply too corrupt, too slow, and didn't give a darn about human life. And now you have no shame, CSB, ATF, ICE, Homeland Security, Department of Land and Natural Resources, Department of Health, because you got good paychecks and you're running around with pockets filled with paper, briefcases filled with paper, meetings and on and on and on, and permits, and you're just signing them off and leaving us exposed, us as citizens, exposed to the nonsense. Whether it's food imports, if it's the FDA, you are on your own. They tell you always, well, we can't enforce that. There's a, it meets a certain criteria, and it doesn't, and what have you. So why are we paying these so-called professionals to look to our benefit, to protect us? Why? Time and time again. So VSE's procurement office conducted a non-technical review of DEI and the competing offer for the fireworks disposal subcontract that did not address health and safety. Good morning, caller. You have a comment, a question?
Yeah, good morning. It's your friend again.
Yeah, how are you doing, friend?
Happy New Year. As a Kekeokaina and born here, associated with fireworks, for over 50 years, you know, since fireworks is the name of the game in New Year's and 4th of July in Hawaii. In these stores, before, you go into a box store, a big box store or Foodland or wherever during the fireworks season, you have a whole, even Long's Drugs, you have a whole section just piled up with fireworks.
Hey, Ed, hold on. You're breaking up a lot. Can you try to call it?
Let me get into another room.
Something's happening there.
How's it now?
I thought maybe the federal government. Go ahead.
Okay. How am I now?
You're still breaking up. I don't know what the problem is.
It's a digital phone. How are we going now?
No, you're completely.
I live in a house that is steel construction.
Okay. Well, go ahead and.
How are you doing now?
Sounds good. Okay.
Okay, I'm just relating the situation with fireworks. Now, you go in, my family's been in the fire department, but in the past 2 or 3 years, you go into Long's Drugs, or before the ban on fireworks, they have a huge section with firecrackers and fountains and all the accessories for fireworks for New Year's in one big section. Okay, that's an accident waiting to happen, which kill many, many people.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the anti-smoking laws, nobody smokes in these stores anymore. But 10, 15, 20 years ago, you go to a store in Chinatown, they have tons of fireworks in all the stores, and the clerk who you go to pay for your firework, he's smoking a cigarette.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, these for years and years have been accidents waiting to happen. Where are the safety people there? Where was the fire department?
Right.
Why were they allowing storing large amounts of fireworks in a place where hundreds of people were shopping?
Mm-hmm.
And only recently, because of the cigarette ban, nobody's smoking in the store, so at least that lessens a possibility of an accident that could cause a huge explosion.
Right.
Kmart or wherever.
Yeah. Well, Ed.
Okay. Let me get
You're breaking up really bad now. I think it's becoming an annoyance to most listeners. But if you can call, try another line. Call back, maybe that'll resolve it.
Okay, I'll call you right back.
Okay, call back. Anyway, I'm not blowing off steam, folks. You need to see this report, and we're going to post it up on carolcox.com. And you make your own decisions and draw your own conclusions. But I will assure you, if you think you have honest people in government, think again. This report is the cornerstone for those that believe that government is corrupt. It is the nucleus, the perfect example. It has flaws, and laws that didn't work. They knew they didn't work. They knew they were in place. But someone higher up makes lots of money. You there, Ed?
Yeah. How does it sound?
Oh, that sounds like Ed now.
Okay. Getting back to this, the potential for an explosion regarding, we're just talking about fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these bunkers where the fireworks are stored, these are ammunition bunkers. And for years, since World War II, stored thousands of pounds of black powder used in a big 16-inch and 5-inch guns.
Mm-hmm.
And the people, I'm a former Navy man, and the people handling it are just a bunch of sailors. Hey, you guys go there and move all this hundreds of pounds of boxes of black powder and ammunition. We're going to move it from the storage, take it to the ship. There were no safety officers. You just went and did the job and make sure you don't smoke. Okay. But in the case of this White Kelly,
mm-hmm.
there had to be something that triggered the explosive. If no one, maybe someone who was not trained decided to light up a cigarette. Or maybe not. Maybe you're told, no, can't carry matches, cigarettes. Maybe someone's handling a pipe wrench and he dropped it in a wrench or a tool to open the boxes and it dropped and it caused a spark, set it off. That's called an accident. And so I don't know what the answer is. I don't know what you would have done if you were the safety officer in control of this operation to make sure that an accident would not happen involving highly explosive material such as fireworks, which is, like you say, basically black powder. But I'm relating getting back in the total community where an accident was always waiting to happen in the stores during New Year's. And as a kid, you're allowed to smoke in the stores. And like I said, you know, you go to the clerk's right room. Your bill, and he's smoking a cigarette, and he's selling you 5 or 10 packets of fireworks. So I don't know what the answer is. Accidents are going to happen. In this case, I've been a former safety officer in the military.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what else you could have done, and it was a safe place to storage because they stored ammunition there before the bunker. The people in the neighborhood were not at risk, but the people who handle the explosives were at risk.
What I would offer, Ed, is this. That if it was a scenario and we reinvented it and said that I was left to my own accord to handle this as an individual, and you're right, accidents can happen and will happen given the right circumstances, and that's true. But in this case, because there are federal agencies that is aware of the potentials, aware of the dangers, aware of the possibility that this material can be diverted and put in the wrong hands. So given that they are in place and the reality is not hypothetically, but the reality is you had experts. These are experts now. These are top of the crop, right? So no room for suggestions, in my opinion, that what if. What I say, it's what is. And what it is that these agencies are the ones who set the laws, they regulate the laws, they enforce them, and if shame on them for allowing fireworks to sit on the shelf and be around smokers in the old days. But we learn as we go because And that's my very point. We've had instances where, prior to this Y. Kelly incident, reminding us and should have been the call, wake-up call, to go and be more diligent, be more aggressive, to prevent such flaws. That's all I'm saying.
Well, yeah, I understand what you're saying, but, you know, I think they did call the matters by storing it in a safe, an ammunition bunker.
Right.
But yet, where else do they store it? At the docks? They store it in the open docks? Store them in the stores?
I'll stop there because you're taking me down a road that I'm speaking of reality. I'm sitting here knee-deep in paper to speak specific to failures. No. To allow a continuation of going down this road, what if? Yes, you're right. There are many things that went wrong, but my interest today is to convey to the listeners like yourself, without being hypothetical, just know that while I agree with you, all of those things and accidents will happen. That's why they call them accidents. But in this situation, when you have experts and when you are hiring people with millions of dollars that you're putting in their hand because they make a declaration that they can do the job and you set the specs and the standards and you've expressed concern with public safety and the health and welfare of the workers in doing that, there's no room for introduction of 20 years ago it used to be this way. This is completely unrelated. And I would add this, and in closing, let's always remember that there are five people that lost their lives, the ultimate price. So we can talk about 20 years ago, or we could talk about now to say that we should not allow this to escape us this occasion. We must pin the tail on the donkey, take the blindfolds off, and don't play the game. Just stick the tail on the donkey. That's where it's supposed to be. And we made a butt of ourselves by giving millions, see, and in some of these instances, for example, they report that the only thing they did to find out if this DEI was qualified was to go look at their website, not tasking them with demonstrating, while another company expressed concern with how and demonstrated in writing how they would dispose of these things properly and the accounting of it, while this company did not do that. The difference was $90,000, Ed. So anyway, go ahead and finish your thought there. Finish your thought, and I'll let you go.
Yeah, I just don't like the word expert, because if there were experts involved, that the underlings were not experts who actually handled the materials. Uh-huh. And unless there was strict supervision, an accident possibly could happen. I consider it an accident, unless someone lit a cigarette who was some $4 an hour higher to do the manual labor to move the stuff around. But that's all I have to say.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we wouldn't leave a loaded shotgun on the sidewalk near school either. You know, there would be rules on that. But the way this thing is written, there will probably be the ATF, or in the same vein, would probably go there and say, well, it was done during the summertime, so therefore it's not a violation. When did you know that? Oh, we knew that when we did an investigation 20 years ago in Florida. So this is the nonsense that is being bantered about. But this report is absolutely, it's good in one sense. It tells us all that, if you read it, that this is a way the federal government insulates itself and entities that are involved in wrongdoing. They are quick to run and rush and have no shame in disclosing that they knew it was broken. They knew it and have no shame and a reluctancy in writing it down now and putting it in a report that they don't have these rules. How did you know that? Wouldn't you be the same process would have triggered this concern in other incidences. So it's inexcusable. I don't know what else there is to say as to, and I'll take it up a little bit in the later hour, but it's just shameful. I can't believe they're allowing it to happen. But the technical findings that gave DEI analysis of the fireworks display was insufficient. The company failed to identify hazards handling and disassembling. And the contractor, the federal acquisition thing that I read, the Department of Treasury is involved. VSE's procurement office conducted a non-technical review of DEI and the competing offer for the fireworks disposal subcontract that did not address the health and safety. VSE did not use personnel with the technical background or expertise to properly select and oversee contractors performing work with hazardous materials such as fireworks, nor did it consult with or hire anyone with the expertise. So, again, they tell us now, but where were they? It's their fireworks. It's a federal agency's fireworks. It's an active case. They were waiting to prosecute it. You are responsible for that evidence because that person may not be found guilty, or there may be some conditions that the courts may order. So you're responsible for those fireworks, and you need – then on the other hand, you don't want to see someone taking that material and just storing it and one day decide to get a wild hair up its butt and hate society, or because black powder is so difficult to come here, you don't want to create a black market. So all of these things, and we're not talking about the local Boy Scout group. That we're talking about the alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. We're talking about ICE's, Customs and Immigrations. We're talking about Homeland Security that should have been in there. I mean, if they're checking ladies and groping them in the crotch to find out if they got black powder, I guess, then why are we turning our backs on this situation? We'll be back in the next hour, and please don't hesitate to join me. And again, carolcox.com is the website, and you can read this report there.
for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K108.
This is KWAI Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
All righty, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. That was Claudia Charters who played that on her flute for me, and thank goodness she says... She describes me as a man with a plan. Unlike, I'm glad Don Horner didn't do that. That would be the man that's shucking and jiving. But anyway, isn't that amazing? Don Horner sitting there on the education board and comes up with the term shucking and jiving. Tell you he has more money than brains or sympathy or emotion. But anyway, I shouldn't say that. This is a nice day. We have a African-American as a president, and we should let all that go. Let people say what they want to say, regardless of who they are and what capacity they serve. We should be above all of that. This is a new day. But anyway, this is so many things out there, and I love it when we have the occasion to speak the truth and see what's written. And I was going to – you hear me harping on the fact that the federal agencies are responsible and that this report is, in my opinion, serves as a very poor attempt by the CSB and the other federal agencies to insulate federal agencies involved in this. That's all it is. They should have known. But they didn't know. They knew, but they thought someone else was going to take care of it. That someone else knew that they couldn't take care of it, but they never told them that they couldn't take care of it. But these are people that we hire with the expertise, talking about the Waikele explosion, if you're just joining in. And this is a report by the U.S. Chemical Safety and Hazardous Investigation Board. Now, here's my preface for my argument. This is from their 2.2 in their report, January 2013. The importation of illegal fireworks has also been rising throughout the country. This increase has resulted in efforts by a network of government agencies, not-for-profit organizations, and other entities to improve the quality and safety of imported fireworks through screening, inspecting, testing, seizing, and when necessary, disposal. Federal law enforcement agencies, including ATF, U.S. Customs, Border Protection, and the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, work to prevent the illegal importation of fireworks by inspecting, seizing, testing fireworks shipments at major cities and ports of entry throughout the country. To illustrate the extent of the illegal fireworks importation issue in the U.S. between October 2008 and November 30, 2012, the CBP Office of Field Operations conducted a total of 69 fireworks seizures at cities considered to be major ports of entry, including Boston, Chicago, Houston, Los Angeles, Miami, New York, San Francisco. The largest individual commercial seizure conducted by CBP during the first half of 2012 contained nearly 18 tons of fireworks in Honolulu. Wow. So they're acknowledging for at least 4 years they've been seeing this increase, and before that. And yet, they're just now arriving at the point where they were willing to acknowledge that the rules don't apply, or somehow the handling and the disposal of it is not under their purview, or does not, the laws does not cover it. So 4 years ago, why didn't they, giving them a break, I just say 4 years, why didn't they go and ask for an executive order or approach some Congress person to amend the law to incorporate the concerns for the disposal? Not just the seizure and the storage, but the actual disposal, which would have then dictated. And until then, why then did they not become more concerned and more aggressive in the oversight when they know that anything could go if the rules weren't there? But by them going there and talking to these people and keeping them and being vigilant about the safety aspects, while they knew that there are some flaws, go and take care of it. But instead, they treated it like we had ironclad law, and that everyone was perfect in their approach and handling of this. So I offer that just to say that we should not accept this, and five men dying is not something we should take for granted, and we should hold everyone accountable. I am not outraged, but I'm more insulted that the CBP would even go to this extent and not take care and tell the truth and just call it what it is. We blew it. We, the entire community of federal agencies, to include the state agencies, blew it. And as a result, five people lost their lives. That's, you know, and to put it, to be blunt, to the federal government, the CBP and others, the value of a human life in the VSE, in my opinion, looking back at this, it was $90,000 or so difference in the bids. So the value of a human life in this case, in my opinion, was less than $20,000. There are people with cameras that if they break them, the insurance pay them $30,000, $40,000, $50,000. So should we stand back? And I'm not trying to inflame or incite you or any of you, But I would like to instigate and initiate some thought in your mind that if you, in fact, have the occasion to contact the federal agencies or have the occasion to speak to your local legislators and representatives, tell them that the value of life starts with the family. And imagine the people having to receive such message that some of the young men were trying to improve themselves and work and get out of predicaments, and some had served in the military, you know. And yet federal agencies hands off their trash, which is as deadly as a pit of vipers, and walk away. And in turn, this element that there were retired law enforcement federal agents involved is just sickening, because it talked about them. They did this to save money and travel and what have you, and when there was a need, they would do it. But five people lost their lives. And there are other instances where it happens where they place everything in a hole and ignite it, and one person was killed. There in Lansing, Kansas. Again, where was the CBP on that one? Why didn't they then up and talk about the ruse? So anyway, I'd like to hear from you if you have any comments or questions on this. But going back to the common sense, 524-1080 is the number, 524-1080. But going back to the common sense part of this, forget the ruse. You would think someone would... that is tasked with monitoring for illegal weapons, illegal guns, illegal explosives, and all of that. And they know what these, quote, illegal explosives can be. You would think they would be guarding, they would accompany DEI on every occasion. So when they went to the Cocoa Head crater shooting range to dispose and burn of this, as they call it, the thermal treatment. I love it, the names they assign to these things. It's putting the stuff in a barrel and burning it, but it's the thermal treatment that the state health department talks about, the disposal. They issue the permit, and nobody drives with them to find out. You dismantle it. If you were going to allow them to do and process the way they did, which was kind of dumb, as these reports report, but if you're going and you know they did it that way, you would stand there, and if it was 18 tons, then you know there was so many pounds of black powder that would be generated from that in accelerants and igniters. And you would, in fact, probably want to weigh it so you know how much they've recovered. Again, I'm giving credibility to some dumb measure or some dumb process, but just what if they were? They would have, being the ATF and Customs and Homeland Security, because this black powder can turn into a bomb in the wrong hands. And so you would think the common sense approach would have been, we'll assign, each day you weigh it, you certify it, and I know some of you would say, well, that's handling it. But again, they wouldn't have had the metal cart, they wouldn't have had the chair, they wouldn't have had the plastic bags, if there was some kind of oversight, and if they had hired an entity that had the expertise. So the contract itself was awarded 10-year contract, VSC Corporation to support its seized and forfeited property program. VSC employs roughly 2,500 individuals and provides diverse services to the government and military, including reverse engineering, supply chain management, management consulting, and process improvement. Their responsibility under the federal prime contract was to secure services for the receipt, storage, handling, transportation, consignment of disposal of all seized, blocked, or forfeited general property. Now, funny thing, DEI's thing said that they were capable of disposing of solid waste, hazardous waste, and dumping it in the landfill. That was one of the examples they gave as their expertise. But we're not tasked with going to great details as to what they were, their expertise was in handling fireworks. So, anyway, the problem with this whole process is that there were people, not just people, these were not Boy Scouts or Cub Scouts, these were federal agencies involved. Federal agencies seized it, and you would think they would be guarding that as if it was the gold in Fort Knox, because it has all of the implications and possibilities of getting in the wrong hands at a minimum. So this process, someone dropped a ball on the thinking process when it was, I guess, out of sight, out of mind. And by the way, that facility that they were storing it in, yes, it's true that they were storing black powder and some other munitions and what have you, but it was a different group of people. And I, too, have worked around in the military facilities that had that, and you couldn't smoke, and you had to use a brass wrench and brass screwdrivers or what have you in certain areas to prevent ignition. But again, that was still oversight, and accidents do happen. But in the civilian world, when you have an army of federal agencies responsible, you just don't abandon those thoughts. So how can we allow the CBP to justify this report when, in fact, if you read this report, they haven't really finished the tests on what chemicals exist there that possibly contributed to the ignition? So in my opinion, this report and the efforts by CBP was nothing more than a veiled attempt to conceal and insulate government agencies so no one would look any further. The great Poonpah has spoken. The CBP has spoken. And so, therefore, we should all go to bed and say that what would we attribute the five lives to, the loss of those lives? What would we consider or what describe it? They died because DEI didn't have the expertise, or they died because VSE handed the contract to someone that did not have the expertise or did not do due diligence, or did they die because there was a $90,000 difference and they went with the lowest bidder? Did they die because the ATF, the ICs, the Customs, the State Health Department, Hawaii State Health Department, didn't believe that they need to forget what VSC handed it to, who the subcontractor? You would think that they would have taken up on themselves to follow up who these people were and what they were. So imagine, and this is me now. I don't do drugs and I don't drink to the point where I start thinking like an alcoholic. But here, what if I was a terrorist and I wanted, you know, and I see that these things are out there and I see how loosely things are run, and I go and I form me a company and somehow I offer the lowest bid. But me and my buddies who hate America, who want to do harm to America, so we go and form a company. And we reach out to VSE. And we put up a website. And we say we have all this expertise. And we give them documents and what have you. And voila, we're successful in getting the contract because it's a reality now. Because if Donaldson was able to get its contract the way the CBP describes it, then potentially anyone and everyone could set up a dummy company posing as, given the lack of stringent oversight and follow through and follow up by the federal agencies. You would think the federal agencies would have said, okay, you got a subcontractor. Who are they? We want to check them out. We want to know who they are. So potentially, as loose as it is, this is why the CBP, I believe, hurried to insulate these federal agencies so that the questions that should have been asked and should be asked won't or will not be asked because they are hurrying and scurrying to cover it up, to seal it up, burn the body so there's no necropsy or no autopsy to be done to find out what really caused it. Something similar to that. So hurry up, get this report out here, give your blessings, exonerate and insulate the other federal agencies and the state agencies, and then put it back on the VSE. But the reality is, in this situation, the federal government failed the citizens of this state and this country with this effort. And it's not over, and I hope that the attorneys that are involved, that's representing these families that were impacted and lost their loved ones, is aggressive in asking these and hold the federal agencies. And I know the courts probably will buy into it because the court system, too, is part of that big grand palace that we've created within America now. You and I are left to fend for ourselves. But God forbid if you drove across a state line with a bottle of booze or scotch with the seal broken. They'd be up your butt, checking you, breathalyzers, and don't ever be caught walking in the Long's drugstore and buying three boxes of antihistamines. Oh, they'll follow you and do your blood type and you'll be indicted and what have you. But you can have hundreds, if not thousands, of pounds of black powder sitting in there and that they know they gave to you, and they wouldn't give a rat's butt about it. That suggests that there is something wrong, and that's why I say we have lots of laws and many flaws in this nation when it comes to the proper handling. So this is the VSA. It thought that DEI was the experts, so VSE didn't have to do any research or fact-finding. And somewhere in this report it mentions that DEI had an earlier contract with them or doing some other work on fireworks. And then the definition of manufacturing appeared to keep agencies from enforcing or authorizing rules that prohibit plastic bags and metal tubes. Why wouldn't you think that they would have set up a specific thing? For example, EPA says if you're going to test for mercury, there's a strict process that they set up, a criteria that you have to follow those steps in order to do a test for mercury or selenium or what have you. You just don't go and dip and do a sampling and go off. So all the way down to that, and that involves RCRA issues too. So that Manini effort, just to find the constituents in soil, the EPA has specific measures and steps you have to follow. You just don't take soil and put it in a bag and take it to the lab. No, you take the soil and then you put it in a Ziploc baggie, and you put it on ice to chill it. Even though the soil was sitting out in the sun for years, you put it in the bag. So something as Manini as that, when it comes to sampling for heavy metals in soil, it's that detail. And then there's a chain of custody. But the ATF can hand off thousands of pounds of fireworks to someone and never come back to ask a single question. until they hear this loud boom. Then all of a sudden it's a scramble. The damage is done. What's next? Are we to expect another one now? Because clearly they've had their call, wake-up call years ago. They didn't do anything. So should we wait to see another explosion? Then something will be done. But anyway, that's there's so much to this. And again, I just had to talk about it. And just don't understand why it would be treated this way. And again, five people lost their lives. And if my comments are not taken well or you find them distasteful, I will apologize, but I will not take them back. Does that make sense? Because I'm reading this and having worked for the federal government and worked for state agencies, I can tell you there is an army out there of people drawing salaries and all the fat monies and the vacation and the medical and all of that. And these people that are involved in this predicament, the same thing. Their authority is diminished by this process. The CSB should have been aggressive a long time ago in putting in place rules where they knew that there were inadequacies or it was not sufficient rules to address all things, and that certain agencies had the responsibility, but there were technicalities that prevented them from doing whatever. All of that, they should have convened a meeting when early on when they discovered this, or just an assessment of the efficiency of the law. But they didn't do that. That's why I characterize this as a cover-up and a hurry on the part of CBP to insulate other government agencies. And I would say shame on them. So anyway, got a little bit more we're going to talk about. One of the things that, changing tracks here, on the rail, locally here, just the big booger bear has arrived at the doorstep. And that booger bear is the boogeyman, I should say, describing him, is that out at the banana patch, then Pearl City area, they want that land. It's a critical part of their land. So they've actually sent the owner a letter saying that they will let HART know, the DDC, or the Design Construction Land Division, will let HART know that they want to proceed with condemnation. And HART will presumably approve this, they say. And the request will then be placed before the city council. If the council approves the request, the corporation council for private council will prosecute a condemnation action. Now, this is a wake-up call. This is the many things that we're about to see. Here comes the boogie bear, or the boogeyman, at our doorsteps now. So those of you, I'm going to try and find out someone to come and guide us through this process and share with us their insight on condemnation and the process, because there's many things. If you're going to trade off land, you have a business and you want that business, you want to start up that business on another piece of land that you traded for, you better make sure that that land that you receive, for example, will allow the activities that you're currently doing on that land or that you want to conduct. And so the best thing to do is to go get a lawyer. If you find yourself in the condemnation process, consult a lawyer. That's the only thing that's going to save your butt. Unless you just, you know, everything's fine and you're not really worried about anything. But there's a value of land interest concerns. There's land use issues. If you're going to do certain work, will that land be allowed or that activity be permitted there on and on and on. And if you got to build a road to it, what's your cost? If you got to build utilities, what's your cost? If you got to build a facility and you're going to have to connect to the sewage, are you going to be able to do that? So I think the we're going to see some things. And I asked the city council, Arnie Martin's office, for a list of the communications from Hart on land acquisitions, I didn't get anything. So I guess what I've learned in the past was that there was a couple of condemnations taken place, but we'll see. And not with Hart, but some of it was with a certain Cam Highway and Farrington portions. But again, that's what's out there, folks. There is a big move now. The rail is on its way, and some of you now will be met with some harsh realities that either you sell to them or what have you, or they'll condemn your land. So protect your rights and consult an attorney. Good morning, Marsha.
Good morning.
Yeah, how are you?
I'm good. Wow. Whew. Just listening, it's like overwhelming.
Well,
I mean, just listening to you and my God.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, the city council is now 8-1 in favor of the rail, so, you know,
mm-hmm.
they... So I guess that means that everything will go the way they want it.
Yeah, they. I heard Manti Te'o was going to be their mascot for. They can see everything.
Poor
they,
baby.
They visualize the rail and what have you. So.
Mm-hmm.
Manti has his girlfriend and Mufi has his rail.
Yeah, poor Manti. Bless his little heart.
Yeah. Anyway, I shouldn't say that. The poor guy.
A Mormon in a Catholic school and just naive. But he's not the only one. Thousands of people fall victim to that crap on the Internet. I know one woman was in love with a young man here. She'd never met. They talked and talked and talked. And he was real. She left her husband on the mainland and came over. And when she met him, she was just horrified. Mm-hmm. You know, he wasn't what he purported to be online.
Mm-hmm.
So that happens all the time, and it's just too bad that he had to fall victim to it.
Well, yeah, we're assuming he fell victim. So did his parents, I guess, because they...
Well, the guy that set it up said he did.
Well, I understand, but his parents met the girl? Anyway.
No.
Well, I just look at that and say, hey... there are many men every day go to the Internet and they have a girlfriend there and, you know, but they once they turn it off, they walk away and realize it's just the Internet. But
yeah.
I guess when you're young and but I think there as time goes on, the truth will come out. And I think the truth is already out there. It's just a matter of now we're believing that it was a hoax. Well, tough. I wouldn't give him my ball to run with again because he won't visualize himself getting across the goal. I just don't know. Something's kind of interesting.
Well, the guy that set it up says that's what happened.
Well, yeah. Well, then good for him. And you know.
Yeah. What can I say?
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, it's the guy set it up, but. All of the lies the boy was telling about her dying and going, you know, this is...
Well, that's, you know, that's what the guy set it up in order to get out of it. It was like, okay, let's end this, you know.
All right. Well, good for him. Then I hope that he surfaces somewhere with a good contract and run that ball.
Oh, he will. He will.
We hope so.
That's one of the guys that's supposed to play today is charged with sexual assault. And he's supposed to play today,
mm-hmm.
you know. Yeah. This poor little guy imagining a girlfriend is way down the list of things that the NFL players do. This is way.
Well, let's wait until it.
Yeah.
I've heard 1,000 stories, and I still have heard.
Yeah.
What I've heard is what I've heard, and it's sufficient to cause me concern. So.
Well,
anyway, what's you have a parade tomorrow?
Okay, I'm calling about the Martin Luther King holiday.
Uh huh.
And today is the bell ringing ceremony, candlelight bell ringing ceremony, at the Nagasaki Bell at 5:30, and everybody's invited. It's a really beautiful event, and theoretically, the bells are supposed to be rung all over the world for Martin Luther King on the holiday. But since we are at the end of the day, we do it in the evening on the Sunday before.
Mm-hmm.
And the dean of the Cathedral of St. Andrew will be our honored guest today, and the Royal Hawaiian Band will play. And then tomorrow is the parade and the unity rally. And there's one footnote to history here, and I call it 150 years of struggle. Now, you know that racism and slavery is 400 years old, but we have milestones that we measure time by. And so in January 1863, which is exactly 150 years, Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation.
Mm-hmm.
And then 100 years after that, January of 1963, January 14 to be exact, George Wallace stands in the door of the University of Alabama and says, segregation today, segregation tomorrow, segregation forever. And then, you know, this year, Alabama, with all the black players, wins the national championship.
Mm-hmm.
In 1963, we had the March on Washington. We 1963, we had the four little girls that were killed in the bombing in Birmingham of the church. Medgar Evers was killed that year. Sam Cooke, who was invited to perform, was denied that he and his band could stay at a place. So that's when he was so brokenhearted that he wrote that great song, "A Change Is Gonna Come," which has become an anthem.
Now,
you have that song.
Yeah. Now, hold on for a minute. I'm trying to. Thanks for the history, but the parade. How does people? Can they participate in it? Is it still open for invite?
Yes, you can.
And where do they meet? With this, I've had a couple people yesterday ask me, and I'm scratching my head. I didn't see a press release. What can you do? Are you familiar with that info?
Okay, the starting place is Magic Island, Ala Moana Park's Magic Island, and you have to be there 7:30 or about that time.
Mm-hmm.
They start closing streets at 8:30, so you can't get there.
Mm-hmm. Is there a cost if you want to enter your car or enter a company?
Yes, it's $85.
$85, and can they now still enter that? And
yes, they can.
Okay, and
you can pay as when you get there. Yes.
So it's seven.
Or you can go online and still pay. It's www.mlk-hawaii.
.com.
And
the bell ringing thing is tonight.
Tonight at
5:30 at the Kalani Moku Building area.
Yeah, behind the Kalani Moku Building.
Okay, and then
that is Lauhala and Baritania Street, across from the Board of Water Supply.
And that between those two, the state building and the city HMB, is it?
I'm sorry, what did you say, hon?
Between the Kalani Moku and the HMB building and that big parking lot there, is it? That on the ocean side of Baritania.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that because I didn't have any information on it, and so they can, again, it's they're going to start around.
The parade starts right at 9 o'clock. The police, because they start closing streets and whatnot, it is imperative that it start right at 9 o'clock.
Be square or left out.
Yeah, they don't care who's not in line. The police say, "Let's go."
Mm-hmm. And it ends at.
And it goes.
It ends at the Shell, does it? By the zoo area.
The
park, Capitol Park.
Yeah, Kapiolani Park at the bandstand area.
Okay.
And there is the entry fee for the parade, but if you say, well, I just don't have it, and it's just me, they'll put you in with somebody. Mm. That's not going to be an issue.
Okay.
That's never an issue, you know. If you say, I'm only one person, but I want to walk with somebody. HGEA has 200 people.
Mm-hmm.
Local 5 has hundreds of people. The Democratic Party has a trolley for anybody that can't walk.
There goes that parade.
You know, so you can fit in with some of these big groups.
I thought this was a peace march.
No. This is a people's parade by court order. It's a First Amendment parade. We are
I'm just teasing.
By court order.
Yeah.
So anybody that has an issue, mm-hmm. as long as it's not hate language,
right.
is welcome to join. Mm-hmm. So there will be World Can't Wait, and they are against the drones. There will be, you know, those kinds, mm-hmm. the GMO people, the mm-hmm. Occupy people.
Well, then why is the Democratic Party? The Democratic Party is against labeling GMO.
The party hasn't taken a stand on nothing.
No, I say.
I am so over them.
But they're in the parade.
They pay the money.
We can give them their money back. I'll pay replace the money.
The Republicans have been in the parade, too, so.
Been in, but they woke up and says, why are we here with this contradiction? But anyway, I'm just kidding.
Our young man, Justin Woodson,
uh-huh.
is the third African-American to be in the legislature since uh-huh. we've become a state, and he will be there.
Okay.
He's a really nice young man,
mm-hmm.
and I'm sure they will figure out how to corrupt him.
Well, if he got a point, he's probably already corrupt. I mean, you were a car wash owner, eco car wash, and then you were the head of the Young Democrats, and sounds like he's already got his seat.
Well, when he lived here,
mm-hmm.
he worked hard as the Young Democrat.
Right.
And that is a different organization.
Mm-hmm.
That is not part of the Democratic Party of Hawaii.
Yeah.
That's a totally different organization.
Mm-hmm. I understand he has some strong religious ties, and people have spoken out of him and raised some issues and that his stance. So I'll just watch and wait until, and we'll wave hi to him, say hey in the parade, and that'll be it. But
well,
right now I don't want to sing.
We will see. Like I said, we'll see what.
I
what happens?
Don't want to run his flag up the pole until we see what his voting's going to be.
We'll
how
see.
Is he going to be on civil issues and, you know, gay and lesbian issues and all of those things? Or is he just going to be, thank you, Mr. Abercrombie, for appointing
another
me.
Pretty face, huh?
And then just the third African-American. I'd rather see no one African-American if we're just going to go in there and pick up the rope and start feeding off and attaching our lips to the big ball of corruption that we have
in the
democratic process. So.
Now, he is, but he's not elected. And can he win in 2 years?
Yeah.
You know, that's the real test.
Yeah.
If he has performed,
mm-hmm.
can he get elected?
Yeah. Well,
there will be people to knock him off, to make no mistake about
it. Could it be just an honest taking him to task and hold him accountable? I wouldn't. Would it be? Is it fair to say they're going to knock him off? I mean, have we?
Oh no, I'm saying the people that want that seat that will be anxious.
Well, yeah, I mean, but either he has the goods or he don't. I mean,
well, that's what I'm saying. We got to wait to see how he performs.
And my concern is what I've seen this pattern of. Together, this glue that the Democratic Party has demonstrated, they're not looking for individual thinkers. They're looking for groupie. So my opinion is that I'll just watch and wait and see, because Neil Abercrombie did appoint him. And so it's been my observation now that Neil has a plan, and only Neil knows what that plan is, and those that meet behind closed doors. So If Neil appointed him, this is what I would say. I'm sorry, but and being the first or the third, what did you say, the third African American?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that sounds good, but let's see what he brings to the table and how he behaved toward the real issues. Does he speak for on behalf openly for the taxpayers, senior citizens, and all people? If he can do that, then wouldn't be a debate. Nobody could, quote, knock him off, I don't believe.
Well, that's why I said we got to see. He has an opportunity, mm-hmm. and Neil gave him an opportunity. Neil opened the door, but Justin has to walk through.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody else can do it but him.
Yeah, well.
You know, that's just the way it is. You either perform or you don't.
Yeah, well, you know, we'll see. I mean, that's the start of everything, but been a lot of appointments out there. And not to be negative or speak ill of the young man, I don't know anything about him, but it's just that the Democratic Party seems to have many flaws and the unwillingness to do the right thing by people in general.
Well, the process by which he is selected,
mm-hmm.
the party, and it has to come from that district, which is a very small district.
Yeah.
And so the county Democratic Party, the county party, got together and selected a whole bunch of names, and then they vote mm-hmm. on the top three.
Mm-hmm.
And of the top three, mm-hmm. Neil picks out one of the top
right.
three.
Right.
Now, I thought for sure it was going to be the mayor.
The mayor?
The mayor, former mayor of,
oh, okay.
of yeah. Maui, was one of the top three, and I thought sure that would have been the one.
Yeah. Well, I hope that it works out. If it works out for him, it works out for us, but we still, the streets are still bulging at the sides with homeless issues. We still have issues of the education system that Neil can't fix, and the Democrats don't want to do anything. And I'm not waving the flag to say inviting the Republicans in either. They got their problems, but I don't want to sit here and project that just because he appointed an African American, the third one, I would care if it was a 3,000.
Well, the other two were elected.
Yeah.
So that's.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, we'll see. Maybe the young man can come in and tell us some things about himself. And though he hails from Maui, but he was here. But, you know, what is it that...
Well, he lived here for a long time,
mm-hmm.
and then he got married, and they moved to her home.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why he now lives over there.
What's his views on civil marriages or the... civil unions and all.
What is his position? Is mm-hmm. that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm. Just asking if you know.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So. I don't know his positions on anything. I just know my few times of meeting him, he was just a very nice young man.
Yeah.
And, of course,
so is Nesta Garcia.
To me, everybody's a young person, so.
Nesta Garcia is a nice guy, but watch your purse and your wallet.
Well, see, yeah, never mind. Let's don't even go there with Nestor.
Yeah. I mean, they're all nice guys, but what do they do for us? Do they take our interest? You know, I don't mean to be abrasive.
I don't know.
I
really do not know
mm-hmm.
his position on anything.
Mm-hmm.
It came as much as a surprise to me as it did to you. I mm-hmm. like I said, I thought sure the mayor was the number one person.
Yeah, yeah, well... I don't know what I guess being a party member or if you did something for
the problem. Men. The problem with the party label
mm-hmm.
is that so many of the legislators are not. I mean, they have to choose. The law says you have to choose a party when you sign up to run.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you can't leave it blank. So they choose, and most of them. Not most, but a lot of them choose Democrat because they know that's the way to win. That is not the way they feel. And so many of them are not active in the party or even have a party card.
Yeah.
They just choose, I'm going to be a Democrat so I can win. But when you look at the way they talk, the way they vote, you know they're not. But they choose just to win.
But apparently a great majority of them think alike, act alike, and vote alike.
They think because that's the way to win.
Yeah, I understand. But see, that's where we walk into that cliff that we need to push them all over if that's the how they operate. We need
that
people.
Is how they operate.
Yeah, so that's why I say, you know, it's okay to see, you know, I guess if in the old days, it's good to see another brother hanging out with the folks up there. But in this day and era, age, it's important that we represent all people. And if Neil appointed him, I have my reservations right there. snake in the grass is a snake in the grass.
Well, poor Neil. He's, what can I say?
Poor Neil.
Neil turned out to be a great disappointment.
Well, yeah, but there's a whole army, a cadre of Democrats that are sitting there, don't seem to want to snap the whip and correct him.
Well,
they voted for PLDC, right? Remember? Let that be the defining act on when we talk about how great the Democratic
Party. Wait a minute, let me tell you.
Yeah.
When the party challenged and had a real legitimate complaint against it, and it came up at the party, it was Pacific Resources.
Yeah.
They stacked that room so that the vote was unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. We're running down time now. Don't get
okay.
too long.
So when the regular people challenged it, complained about it, they so stacked the room with their people that it was just overturned. The vote was overturned. The complaint was overturned.
Yeah, but let's keep in mind, too, a lot of them take money from
Those are the people that stack the room. Those that are getting paid by that.
But I'm saying, but those people, let's put a name in with the face. They are Democrats that the PRP funded a great many of them. So anyway, we'll have this conversation in another day. Even though I'm a Democrat, I think that the way they behave now is just absolutely, it's un-American, to be honest with you. You know,
oh, it's
one guy dies and his last breath is, look here, in a democratic society, I want you to appoint that person and move this one over here and that one there. And we stand back and go, I'm a Democrat. That's not democracy.
No.
We'll
have that conversation. But that was the best thing that happened, is to break that chain.
Did we?
Yes.
Okay, well,
That is the best thing that happened.
I hope you're
right. And we'll have that conversation again.
I hope you're right, because I want to see, when I eat my corn, I want to know what's in it, GMO or not.
That's another conversation.
Call that young man up and tell him he could do us all a favor if he championed that cause. And
I'll see him. He'll be here tomorrow. He's in Maui today.
All righty. Well, we look forward to seeing him. Okay.
And then you come on out and you can talk to him.
I will try to be there, but, you know, they'll tell him, stay away from him.
No,
you know,
no. I'll see to it.
Well, remember now, the old way of thinking was that any time more than two black men got together, it was going to be a conspiracy going on. So
that's why we have a court order that says we can do this.
We have
a court order.
Yeah, I know. That's right. People probably think I'm one radical guy, but these are really realities. And
yeah.
So, but
okay, sweetheart.
All right, thank you.
I'll talk to you. I'll see all you right. tomorrow.
All right.
Bye.
Well, anyway, yes, I'm a registered Democrat and going to struggle somehow to become registered as an independent, because I'm sick and tired of the whole process. And you look at these people and they have musical chairs and they appoint one another because one brought donuts to the party and the other one helped his sister get a job and this kind of stuff. And ultimately, you, the taxpayer, senior citizens, are suffering, losing their homes and being because of these expensive costs and endeavors. So anyway, let's be fair about it. I'll see you next week. Aloha. Thanks for joining.
Hey, Amadou, moro kana fanta unke buloko fefeng.
Fanta unse gana fanta unyani na dnye kundo ya.
Aye fanta unla be.
Aoga fanta undeme.
Gaga ni deme yiko sebe. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on K108. Tune in again next time for the Carol Cox Show, right here at KWAI Honolulu.